Susan, how you doing?
I am very well, thank you.
That's good. I always feel so weird when we've already been talking for an hour and then we're like, okay, hi.
I know. I'm like, oh dear. But no, it's nice and cool. It's not too hot and sweaty. I've done a little bit of exercise this morning and
Well,
I've
Tuesdays has become our podcast recording day, and it's your like
it
Pilates day.
has. Yeah, and I even went yesterday as well. So I am
Lovely.
being
Feeling
good to
tall and
me.
straight.
Yeah. I know. My boss is good to me.
All righty. So before we jump into today's chat about ultra processed foods and
Ultra
my trip to Costco,
processed.
what was the best thing you
Yes.
ate this week?
Well, I was thinking about it and I actually think that my morning tea this morning was the
Oh,
best thing
nice.
I ate. And it was really simple. It was toasted Turkish bread with hummus and sliced tomato with a bit of salt and pepper. And it
Yum.
was really delicious. Like the hummus was
Yum.
nice and sort of garlicky. So, yeah,
Fantastic. I love Turkish bread.
I do too. I was talking to somebody else about it the other day. I just like the pockets. And like if you
Yes.
butter it and they just fill up with all the
Yeah.
melted butter.
There's a in the Recipe Tonight's book, there's a Turkish bread pizza.
I know. And I've
And it's
made it.
really
And I
good.
actually, last night we had bolognese for dinner and I did a Turkish bread just sliced long ways in half. And I made garlic butter and just
Yum.
smooshed
And
butter and
then
garlic and
have a crispy
parsley.
bolognese.
Yes. And the other, like I did one half with some cheese on it and the other half without. And it was scrumptious.
Fantastic. That does sound
Yep.
delicious.
Yeah,
Very
it was
good.
very good. I'm a big fan, Turkish bread. Very, it's a simple things. Simple
It is simple
girl,
things.
simple
Yep.
needs.
Yep, I used to. I mean, this is years ago, so I'm sure it is more expensive now. But there used to be a fantastic little kebab shop up in Springwood that you could buy a fresh Turkish bread
Oh,
from,
yeah.
and it was like massive and like $2 or something. Like it was so
Yep.
cheap, and we would get that, and then they had this like this cauliflower and yogurt dip, and
Oh,
so I'd buy that
yum.
Turkish bread, and this had dill in it, and I've never found it again,
Yep.
and it was so delicious. I'm sure that's. It's probably got a name. It's
I
probably a
wonder
fairly
if it's
traditional.
delivered up there from like Auburn or Granville
Yeah,
or somewhere.
near me, closer.
Yeah,
That's
where
possible. And
the
it was so good. And that would be like afternoon tea or dinner sometimes. Just
yeah,
this
yeah, yeah, yeah.
cauliflower yogurt dip and a like a fresh, still warm Turkish bread dip was
Oh,
the
yum.
bomb. So
And
good.
delicious. So what's the best thing you've eaten this week, Meg?
Well, I'm tossing up. Between what my dinner last night, which
Ah,
was
yes.
the Guinness stew from the Recipe Tin Eats book, which I'd made on the weekend and then reheated, so you get all that extra flavor
Yeah.
deliciousness. And it was really tasty. And I made a batch of the No Knead artisan
Oh,
bread.
yes.
So, and I'd made that on the weekend, so it then stayed in the
Yep.
fridge. Right, well, you rise it, then you put it in the fridge for up to
So it's
two or
like a
three days
further
to get all the
fermentation-y.
extra flavor. And then had that with the stew, and that was pretty delicious. But I think I have to go with the one meal I didn't cook for myself this week, which was actually last
Yay.
Thursday, because Dan was away. And we've talked before about we don't understand our husbands who don't
Not
like
liking dumplings. Oh.
dumplings, but my kids do. And so I took the two little ones out to there's a dumpling place just in Castle Hill in Castle Towers. It's really
Yep.
quick, it's really just easy, and like you don't doesn't matter if the kids maybe my
Yes.
kids aren't noisy anymore, but I can imagine you could take toddlers there and feel quite comfortable.
That's
And we had
beautiful.
dumplings, and we had like a braised beef ramen noodle soupy
Yum.
thing, and we needed a third dish, and they were going to get like this beef noodle dish. And then they saw that honey chicken was on the menu and they'd never had it
Yeah.
before. And I was like, sure, that's
Oh,
fine. We can get honey chicken. That can be our other
what?
dish to fill us up.
That's
That's right, exactly. And it was so good. It was real like they're like, why is it so filling? Because I was like, did we between the three of
Uh-huh.
us, we didn't even finish
Because it's battered
that dish.
and
The batter and the honey,
it's
it was
rich, yeah.
very rich.
Yep.
And that was it was nice being out with the kids, and it was
Yes.
Delicious. So I think I have to choose that one because I didn't have to cook it myself.
I had some delicious dumplings on the weekend in my other little side hustle, my little candle business. We went to the markets and it was not a blistering financial success, except for all the stallholders that we purchased food from. But you know, the markets, there's always the Goslemi people.
Yes, love it.
Always the ladies making Goslemi. And there's usually a dumplings.
Mm-hmm.
They have dumplings, pork and chive, and they were spectacular. They were the pot stickery ones.
Yeah, have the little crispy side. Delicious.
So good. So good. I know. Yeah. I know. It's the perfect food, really. Perfect.
I really don't understand.
So okay, Meg. Let's do a little counseling session for you. You went to Costco. And you know, no shade on Costco because like Costco is, if you've got a Costco membership, have you seen the petrol price?
It's so good. Well, then we're thinking of getting it, like that's part of it, right? That'll cover it.
Yeah.
I was talking to Dan about it because at one point I did text him saying, I hate it here. but also
it's very overwhelming.
It's very overwhelming. And I think the first time you go, and it might be the only time, or we might get a membership, don't know. The first time you're also, I found I was doing lots of sort of in your head calculations of
is this actually cheaper?
Is this actually and some things definitely are and some things like weren't. And it was, I was just exhausted. So at one point I got someone rammed a trolley into my ankle and I was just like, oh, I guess
you have
this giant noise. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
And so I was joking with Dan over here, like, I hate it here. 3 out of 10. We'll probably buy a membership. Because I can imagine it really could.
It's like
reduce your grocery
the size bill. Of Bunnings.
Yeah.
But the busyness of like a farmer's market-y type of.
It was.
I can't breathe.
Full on. And when you don't know where you're going, and I went with a friend who has a membership, and it was really helpful. She sort of knows where things are. Yeah. And once you've gone a few times, you could probably actually just run in and grab a couple of things. Because this was potentially my only time I was stocking up on things that I knew that we would use. Sooner or later.
Or not. I went one time and I think I went and didn't actually need anything and spent like $400 or something.
Yeah.
Wrapping paper and ribbon. What?
Oh, okay. So no,
it was big.
Yeah. And you probably still have it. I still have, and I reckon this week will be when I finally use the last of it. On the first retreat, I don't know if you recall, I accidentally, because I did an online shop for that, bought like the catering pack of foil. And then when we were like divvying stuff up to people to take home on the airplanes, I ended up hanging on to the foil, which I don't think we'd even opened because they had foil in the kitchen that we were cooking in.
Rings a bell.
And I am only just about to finish it now. And that was 2019.
Pre-COVID. Oh my goodness.
So buying in bulk can definitely save.
Yes, yes, yes. I think that's the thing because it could be, it's so easy. It would be so easy to be all like snippy about everything's messy.
And I think people love a bit of a judgy looking people's trolleys. What are you getting?
Well, don't we love, yes, exactly. I was wondering, did you feel like, you know, like just going there in your activewear and like just
taking
making
off my
like
shirt
some
and judging the price.
Holding up
you're
a bag
this, you're
of
killing your kids.
Processed savory snacks puffed.
I'm a dietitian and here are three foods I would never eat. No, I did not do that. No. I would have got more followers probably. But you know, I can't believe people would do that. They must go and it's like at just about to close at night time.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes, because like why wouldn't you just run that person over with your trolley?
I would.
I mean, those trolleys can hold a body.
Telling his daughter to read labels and be scared of all foods. I could get a little bit feisty.
Yeah, because the trolleys are bigger. I reckon you could haul a body away in one. Like
it's so hard to maneuver. I think that's why I got rammed. One thing if you are going to do Costco, wear boots.
Yeah,
don't wear
shin pads.
Like, I think I was in my Birkenstocks. Don't do that.
No, protective wear required.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you know, it was pretty interesting. I could have got my eyes tested. Could have bought a $2,000 diamond ring,
and a coffin.
And a coffin, yes, coffin. So weird. But the reason we're talking about my trip to Costco is, yes, a bit of therapy for me. That's great. But there's been a lot of chatter recently about ultra processed foods because
Yes,
of
there
a big
has.
systematic review that came out 2.5 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago, finding associations between high intakes of processed foods and all-cause mortality, so dying of any
Being
cause,
hit by a truck.
and of a range of different physical and mental health
Yeah. And I think the
issues.
important thing there before we sort of go further is associations.
Oh yeah, we yeah.
Not causation, association. So it's been interesting, I think, just to have a quick scroll on social media to see sort of the different narratives that's being pushed by, I mean, different, I guess, different camps. So people who are trying to really calm down like any food fear and help people
That's
have a more
right.
relaxed relationship with food, like,
That's gonna
oh,
make
hang on,
this
hang on,
even
hang on,
harder.
hang on. Oh, slow down, slow down. And then people who are like, buy my continuous glucose monitor and sign up to my app and da 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 da,
And
like,
never eat anything that
again,
got more than two
anything,
ingredients.
just don't eat because it's all too hard. Yeah, like
Yes.
the absolute, every percent increase in UPF consumption leads to, like, is
Yeah.
associated with, but
Is
yeah,
associated with, as
very,
is, lower socioeconomic status, higher intakes of poverty, reduced access to food, like food deserts. And there are some other associations there as well.
Yes, and I think that's like with the ultra processed food. I mean, you've done the deep dive into the papers.
Yeah, I went too deep. I did not have time for the amount of reading that I've done in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a research heavy podcast. People know that. They're not expecting that from
Usually,
us. If you want
we'll just
that, go to
send
Fiona
you to.
Weller.
That's right. We'll send you where we think.
That's
But
right.
I went down a bit of a rabbit hole because so the big study that came out in end of
February.
February was a big systematic review of like a heap of different papers. And so not only did I read that paper in detail, I went and had a look at some of the other papers that were
Papers that
recent
it,
that it
right.
was using.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what's this Nova Food classification system I've never heard about? So then I read
Yes.
all about it.
Yes.
And I think it's quite useful because it's going to keep getting used more in research. And it's then it has made its way into, and I'll talk about it in a minute. It has made its way into some like dietary guidelines. Like in Brazil, their dietary guidelines are using this Nova food classification system.
And our
So it's
dietary
going to be
guidelines
helpful
are
up for
under
review.
review, right?
Yeah,
Or yeah, that process is starting, so it'd be interesting to see if it's adopted here.
that's right. And so it's possible that they'll use some sort of system. So shall I just run her through those sort of four levels of food
Yes, I
classification
think that would
with
be
this thing?
excellent.
All right, let me
So,
find one of my zillion tabs and I'm going to get it. So I think it was developed in around about 2008, 2009. And what the goal was to actually classify foods according to the extent and purpose of processing rather than in terms of nutrients. And what's really interesting is some of the stuff that I've read around this new study and the studies underneath it is people trying to tease apart processing and the addition of stuff that you wouldn't normally find in your kitchen from the nutrients. So if there are two things that have the same salt, fat, sugar, but one is ultra processed and also has a bunch of other stuff in it, is that more harmful for health? And again, they don't seem to really have, they definitely haven't been able to do that. And then even these subgroups under ultra processing, which I'll run through, had really significant variation as to whether it was showing a positive or a negative impact on this sort of morbidity and mortality
So
stuff.
tricky to group it as
So
a
hard.
whole.
Absolutely. And the studies, and again, this is all nutrition research and why it's so hard to do and why it's really hard to do well. some of the studies, you know, they've followed up the same person over a number of years, and other studies, they've talked to a person once and they've done a 24-hour food recall. So what have you eaten in the last 24 hours?
Yeah.
And then they're using that information to determine how
the
much
whole
ultra-processed food that person eats, which is, you know, like, depending on the day of the week you've got me,
it could go either way.
Zero or 100. Like,
yeah. You could be, you know, and the veracity of a recall too. You know, if I know I'm talking to somebody about, you know, something to do with dietary quality, do I want to tell them that my diet is really high quality?
Yes. Or am I choosing? So I tell them it's really low quality.
Yeah. Or am I like having like a hectic day and on the back of a rubbish week and I've eaten out three times that day and it's completely out of, you know, out of all character. Yeah, I just,
it's so hard. It's really tricky. And so, you know, so they're in part, this is trying to be used for industry. It's trying to be used for health. It's trying to be used for like for dietary recommendation. Like it's it's quite tricky.
Top level sort of, but what the where do the headlines land? Individual choices.
That's right, exactly. And so, but yeah, really trying to look at the food processing side of things. So, you know, it's got these four levels, and I'll just whip through them fairly quickly. So group one is your unprocessed or minimally processed. And so that's just, you know, the edible parts of plants or animals. And that includes like milk, eggs, offal, muscle, like lean meats or all meats, mushrooms, things like that. They can be altered a little bit. So you can dry them, you can crush them, you can grind them, you can filter them, roast them, boil them, pasteurize them, refrigerate them. Like there's all the stuff you can do that doesn't move them from group one.
So would like frozen vegetables be in that group?
Yeah. Right. Yes, that would still be. Yeah.
Dried legumes. Group.
Yeah, exactly. So, but also things like flour is in this one.
Right.
So bread, rice, corn,
pasta,
lentils, chickpeas. Yep, pasta's in this one as well. Juice without added sugar is in this one.
Right, okay.
Eggs, milk, yogurt without added stuff. So the fermentation of yogurt.
So you like your natural Greek yogurt. Yeah.
Yep, all of those things, tea, coffee, and all of that. If things are made up from other group one groups without also adding, you know, sugar, honey, oil, or whatever, that stays group one. So if you make up your own little muesli from cereal, nuts, and fruit, that's still, and dried fruit or whatever, that's still group one. And at re-adding nutrients lost during the processing, so adding iron or, you know, folate to wheat and corn flour doesn't move it from a group one. It's a lot. There's heaps there. But again, you're probably going to have to do something to it to then make a meal.
Eat it.
It's fine. That's your group one. I was a little bit surprised by a couple of things in there, but mostly it made a lot of sense. I wondered if flour, because flour gets so demonized, would not be in this group.
And juice, oddly enough, is another one that gets
no added sugar, no added sweeteners or flavors. Yeah.
But you could put vitamin C into it if it was originally there, which then would be part of the.
That's right. Like, there were a couple of additives that are okay to add. So if you're adding some antioxidants to vacuum packed veggies or using like ultra heat treated milk. So your UHT milk might have a stabilizer added.
Yes.
That's also stays group one. But once you start adding flavor to it, no longer group one.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense. Like a lot of it is like, you know, you reckon you'll be able to know what it is just from looking at, like,
yeah,
you don't need to read an ingredients list to go, is there fruit in this? Because you can see it, I guess, is how that one comes.
Yeah.
Then group two is called processed culinary ingredients. And so this is substances that are directly obtained from group one.
Yeah.
Through like pressing, refining, grinding, milling, or drying. And it's to make products. Basically, it's to be like the processing is to make those group one products enjoyable, homemade, you know, soups, breads, preserved salads, drinks, whatever.
Right.
It's like your homemade versions of food. It would be a group two. So that you're pretty much always going to have group one ingredients forming the bulk of
group two items.
Yes. So that was, you know, interesting. So you, it could be have like butter with salt added to it. Is a group two.
Right.
And like I like the iodized salt's okay. That stays in this one. Vinegar is in this group made by like fermenting the wine. So it stays in this group.
So wine's in one?
No, wine's in three.
Oh.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, okay. Cool. Fine. Yeah. Fine.
I think. Oh, hang on. What about other drinks? I don't know. Identified by foods. Those produced by fermentation of group one foods. Oh, yeah. Beer cider one. Yeah. Beer cider one, group one.
Okay.
That surprises me, but never mind.
Yes.
Pushing on. We don't want to get too in the weeds. But I think we've got
to
get
like
there.
To live.
Well, it's kind of good to show how confusing and how difficult it can actually be to do this.
Yeah, that's right. And then, like, what do we need to do where we get these really sort of black and white headlines, frightening headlines, you know, that absolutely instill the fear of things? Like, can we zoom out and go, right, let's, you know, not everyone's going to want to go down the rabbit hole, but if someone's done that, that's great.
Yeah, that's right. So group two is also like vegetable oils, like olive oil, if it's crushed from seeds or from olives, those oils, butter, lard, and starches from corn and other plants.
Okay.
Here as well.
Right. Okay. So corn flour wouldn't be in one, it would be in two.
Yes, it would
but
be.
But wheat flour would be in one.
Yes.
Hmm.
Or polenta would be in one.
Right.
I don't know why corn starch is here. Maybe there's something else in the processing that makes it a further
it's so
splitting.
Much finer.
Yeah, or maybe they've removed more of something. Not sure, but that's what it says.
Yeah.
Then we move on to group three, which is processed foods. So still relatively simple products made by adding salt, sugar, oil to group two or group one.
Yeah.
So the processing stuff you could probably do, stuff you can do at home.
Yeah.
So it
yeah.
might be, you know, preserving stuff.
Yeah.
And making it like, you know, bottled, canned.
Yeah.
Whatever. Salting, curing, and smoking meats is in
so,
group three.
Yeah. So like buying your sausages and bacon.
Yes, buying some ham and hanging it up in your fridge.
Yeah, right. Or buying it from the butcher, cut off the ham.
Yes. Canned Maybe? Fish. But even like fruits, things like fruits in syrup, cheeses are finding their way into this group.
Yep.
And they can might have some additives to preserve their original properties or to stop, you know, microbes growing. I don't see, this is the line that makes me confused. When alcoholic drinks are identified as foods, that line doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Those produced by fermentation of group one foods, such as beer, cider, and wine, are classified here in group three. So no, beer, cider, and wine are group three.
Right. Okay.
I guess because the alcoholic drink is grape, maybe. Is that what they mean by classified as a food? And like cider, it's come from the apples.
I mean, whiskey.
Beer from the hops. Well, no, whiskey is specified as a ultra processed.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
That's right.
followed by distillation. So it's fermentation followed by distillation.
So you think, okay, there's probably less micronutrients.
Ultra processed.
Right. There's less micronutrients, antioxidants and stuff.
So again, mostly this is stuff you can do at home, and the goal of the processing is to increase the durability or modify or enhance
shelf
their
stable,
sensory qualities.
Yeah.
That
got
sort
you.
Of stuff.
Okay.
So I guess the salting and the curing is to enhance and bring out that flavour.
So if you bought like a fresh made pie from a bakery, where are we?
No, so that would be in, well, in depending on what they added to it, right?
Well, yeah.
And that's
like
why
if
this
was,
gets really tricky. So I yeah, had a little yeah, look yeah. at, I was looking through this and I was like, well, okay, those we've talked about those dairy soups before. And I had a look at their ingredients. And I'm like, well, this is not ultra processed because there's nothing in it that would make it go into a yeah. before. So if
you
that bakery
could actually make this.
Used homemade jam and the pastry didn't have any stabilizers or antioxidants,
it was just
flour, butter, like you'd make at home,
yeah.
then that would be
it
a
would
group
be a
three.
Three. Okay.
I think it would be a three.
Yep. Gotcha.
Yes, it would be a three. Or maybe a two. I'm not sure. This gets really tricky, right? But then your ultra processed food, and it was interesting the way that they describe this because it's clearly because it also talks a little bit about the advertising.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, again, really trying to push that this is about the food industry.
Food industry, that manufacturer marketing. Yeah.
That sort of stuff. So these are called the ultra processed food.
Let's get there.
Industrial formulations, typically with five or more, but usually many ingredients.
Yeah.
Such ingredients often include those used in processed foods, group three, such as sugar, oils, fat, salt, antioxidants, stabilizers, and preservatives. But there are ingredients found only in ultra processed products.
Okay.
The things that are not commonly used in culinary
in home cooking or
Even a restaurant.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bakery or a little like sourdough bakery as opposed to like a mass producing.
Goodman Fielder that make all of the Tip Top breads and stuff.
I don't know.
They might not make all the Tip Top bread. That might not be their brand. Anyway.
I'm not sure.
#not all breads.
They do someone.
So
though that's the difference. So there are ingredients in these that are not commonly used in culinary preparations.
Right.
And the additives, the purpose is to imitate sensory qualities as opposed to enhance them in that process one.
Yeah.
Or to disguise undesirable sensory qualities.
Yeah. So using like gums for a mouthfeel and things
that's
like
exactly
that.
That's exactly right. Those sorts of things. And so quite often there won't actually be a large amount of group one foods in the ingredients of these foods.
Mm-hmm.
So interestingly as well, it would include things that are sort of extracted from those other ones, but it requires further processing. So milk powder is a category one, but casein, whey and lactose, which are all components of that, I've called ultra processed.
Okay.
Because there's that further pulling apart and
yes.
then often might require some stabilization to stop it going rancid or whatever. So your protein powders, and you know, I'm a whey protein powder girl, would be in this
ultra processed.
In that sort of ultra processed
group. Yeah.
Because it's sort of derived from further processing of food constituents.
Yeah.
So your soy protein, isolate, your maltodextrins, your invert sugar, all those sort of things, which we know. Those are their additives, like colours, dyes, colour stabilisers, all these things that we don't really put in our home cooking or at the restaurant because the food, when you cook it and then you serve it, it looks great. So you're firming, anti-bulking. And this is what I found really interesting, because you're carbonating agents. I'm like, so bicarb? So if I add bicarb to something I'm making at home, is it suddenly an ultra processed? Like, I wouldn't have thought so.
Yes.
So there's some nuance in here that's quite tricky.
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing's going to fit beautifully in a category.
Yeah.
But some are really obvious.
And I think that's the thing as well, isn't it?
Except the ones that are really obviously in a category, like your breakfast cereals, for example.
Yeah. So when you're trying to then make a causative link or a correlation link, like that then becomes harder, because unless you're eating only from that ultra processed group, like if you have a homemade meal from like group one ingredients and you wash it down with a glass of soft drink.
Yes.
That's
different. But also if you then add some, because condiments and stuff hang out in ultra processed. But again, if I'm putting some chutney on my burrito that I've made from scratch.
It's chutney though.
Then am I really going to worry about my hot sauce?
But like if you make your chutney
or something in it. If you make your chutney, it's fine. But if you're going to buy it, it's going to have these other things in it. Color, particularly colours.
Caramel and whatever, the brown.
Exactly. All that sort of stuff. They're saying, you know, there's often no domestic equivalent.
Right.
For the processes.
Yeah.
That's why I say stuff you couldn't really do at home. Like I'm not There's a lot you can do at home, but there's a lot you can't. You're not turning flour into a Cheerio at home.
No.
Maybe you can. I don't think so.
You're not extruding and like desiccating. Well, maybe you can desiccate. Anyway.
You can. So yeah. the main purpose of it is to create products that are ready to eat. That they can replace unprocessed or minimally processed foods. Ready to consume.
Shelf stable.
And some of their common attributes are hyper palatability, sophisticated and attractive packaging, multimedia or aggressive marketing to children and adolescents, health claims, high profitability, and then this branding being owned by transnational corporations. So
the
this is where
palatability. I wonder, like you said, that's going to come down to an individual, right? Because some of those things that somebody might say is hyper palatable, I'm going to go, yeah, I hate it.
Yes, definitely. But I think there is a factor of training. Again, your with the food advertising, training your palate, but also like the tests that they'll do and the market research they'll do to find that exact point. So we talk about that elementary atresia of, after a few mouthfuls, you kind of essentially get a bit bored with the flavor. Doing research, like these big companies are going to do research to see how long to
extend that.
How can I extend that? Or how can I distract from that? Or how can I be turning those different sort of pleasure centers on or off or whatever? So, but it's interesting that they sort of put that in. Which gives a sense of what they're really talking about. And I don't hate it. Like, I don't hate that we actually make food industry who are profiting
accountable for some level of quality.
Absolutely. So here's the sort of the interesting one thing that was really interesting on the list, infant formula. Which I thought was really, I was like, oh, well, yeah, but also it's for like 1 or 2 years of your life because breastfeeding is just not working or it's not suitable or whatever.
Yes.
Weird. I almost feel like it kind of needs its own little.
It almost needs to be a medical food. Medical food. So there's infant formula, the one you buy off the shelf in the supermarket, and then there's the very specialised ones, the amino acid ones.
Which you've got to get on a script.
They're not hyper palatable.
They're disgusting.
So those hydrolyzed proteins.
At uni? Did you have to taste test Neocate?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't even.
So gross.
I'm so bad at that sort of stuff. I'm like, no, thank you. I believe you. It's horrible.
But other like diet shakes and stuff was in here as well, which is, of course, that makes sense. All your classic pre-prepared pies, pastries, pizza. Nuggets, sausages, burgers, hot dogs, blah, 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 instant soups, those sort of powdered things as well. So things that are, and even some things which are solely group 1 or 3, like your yogurt, for example, if you add artificial sweeteners or if you add
fruit,
a lot of sugar, it's going to end up moving it into a 3 or 4 category rather than one category. And when alcoholic drinks are identified as foods, those produced by the fermentation of group 1 foods followed by distillation of the resulting alcohol, such as whiskey, gin, rum, vodka, are classified in group 4. Also unsurprising that it would be associated with higher risk of illness.
There's no, like, I suppose it's that when they talk about red wine being protective, well, yeah, not as protective as fruit and vegetables or exercise. Yes, that's right, exactly. So, like,
and
also,
is it the red wine or is it the people who are drinking red wine and doing it with friends and eating lovely food at the time because they've got enough money to be buying red wine?
Exactly. But I don't have red wine for my health. I also have dark chocolate for my health. No, stop it.
No.
Do you like it? Okay. Because, I feel like there is an amount that therefore is no longer healthful.
absolutely. And so that was helpful. Quite an interesting little.
Yeah.
Like, I found that quite helpful, particularly because it potentially is going to be the way that dietary guidelines move.
That we start to maybe look at food for its, I mean, the things we know about nutrition and its relation to health, because it's not the be all and end all. It's not going to, absolve, childhood trauma, low income, like violence, ethnicity, gender. It's very hard to speak. All marginalized identities, like you know, nutrition isn't going to counter all of that.
No,
but it's interesting
that's right.
to think that we might be moving in the direction of looking at what's called, I guess, dietary quality.
More
rather
over than
than
just
calories.
Macronutrients or calories.
Macronutrients,
Yeah.
Yes.
So I thought that was quite interesting. And, you know, it is depending on how you have how you've determined the data. It's a really high percentage in developed countries. It's a really, really high percentage of diets that are falling in that category, that fourth category. So I think in Australia there was some stuff looking like between 40% and 60%, but it goes up if people are younger, poorer, or from a disadvantaged area. Which again, when we're talking about associations, that's it's only a big picture. And like I remember years ago, can't remember who I was listening to, maybe Linda Bacon, can't remember, was talking about a study that found that insecure housing is really, really highly associated with diabetes development. Likely because of the chronic stress of insecure housing. And actually, if you address housing, you reduce the rates of diabetes development. More than, you know, telling people to lose weight, obviously. So that was quite.
Or choose low GI carbohydrates.
Yes, which you can't afford or get. So it's worth a conversation about. I think it's certainly worth. If you've got the ability to, if you're in a position where you can just have a little think about your, like, where convenience lies and budget lies and values and health and all of that. But that requires time, space, headspace,
executive
money,
function. Yeah, all of that.
All sorts of stuff to be able to do that. And I think it just, and a lot of time I don't think it's a knowledge gap at all. Like, people would love to buy strawberries at $4 a punnet, but their kids are hungry and the kids don't eat strawberries. But the kids do eat little mini
chocolates. Or they didn't eat them on the day, and then when they went to eat them, they were Santa Claus furry. And they're not filling. Like, they're nice, they're tasty, but they're not filling. There's not very many calories in there. Like,
and at Costco, back to my Costco adventure.
Back to your Costco.
I bought very little fruit and veg because it wasn't cheaper.
Please, if you're eating
it. I've usually got a fairly good, you know, per kilo. In my head of, like,
what's
how
a decent
things
sort of,
are
yeah.
at the moment. And so I know that, you know, things are quite high. And so
grapes
even
start here and they're down to here now.
So even this big packet of, you know, big packet of broccoli, which was sort of already chopped up, but per kilo, I'm like, oh, I can get that cheaper out here and not need not need a huge bag of it. That some of it might go off. I did buy, my friend and I, we shared, because again, we went together, so we sort of shared some things. A big, massive tub of 1 kilo of baby spinach, and that was a lot cheaper than you're going to get it at. That's what, it was a kilo. So I had 500 grams of baby spinach to use up in a few days, which was fine because I steamed.
You can sort of chuck it in everything.
I did. I chucked in everything, and you can freeze it, and then like shove it through a bag bowl.
Chuck it in,
so,
yeah.
But so the, I really didn't buy much fruit and vegetable. I got some strawberries, which were beautiful, and a big punnet. I don't think I bought any other fruit and veg. Maybe some beans. But again, because they were ends chopped off, they didn't last very long. Do you know when you get the beans and they've already been chopped? They spoil quicker than beans that haven't been, had their ends chopped off. And so that's the things we try to encourage people to eat less processed food, but even at the place where
it needs to last longer,
cheap, it's not that cheap. And you've got to buy in bulk and you've got to have it. Like, so I found that really interesting, that like the fruit and veg section at Costco was definitely not.
So if you want mega, mega tons of toilet roll.
Yeah. Go for it.
Or paper towel. As long as you've got storage for that as well.
Yeah.
Or you're sharing it with someone. Yeah, I've got a friend who is a massive Costco fan, but she has a business with four locations that she can, you know,
just
buy for.
People.
Yeah, that's right. So it makes a, you know, or when they're doing, if they're having an event, they will go and buy, you know, like a big.
Well, there were some good platters
from there.
And there was some good, like, so there was some really good sort of catering platters, like there's just some sandwiches or a cheese platter or a sushi platter and things like that. So that would be really convenient if you were having a party. But again, you need to live close enough to run in and just get those things. The meat was great. So the meat, but you've got to have the amount of money to buy in
The
bulk.
bulk,
So I bought this lamb pack, which was about $13 a kilo. So that's very cheap for lamb, and it had cutlets, pork, loin chops, some couple of shanks, a leg roast, a shoulder roast, a whole lot of little steaks and stuff. So $30 a kilo, but $100 of lamb, and I can only do that because I've got a second freezer. We've got a chest freezer.
So
Otherwise,
not
you
only
can't.
can you purchase it because you actually have that money in
Yes,
that moment, you
I
can
can then
divide it,
store
store
it
it,
and then
freeze
eat it
it.
over the next
Yeah, we're
2
not
months
having
or
lamb
however
every
long
night,
without
kids.
having eaten lamb every single night. So to make use of some of those good savings, you've got to have this other
Other things
stuff
that
that's
were more
accessible.
expensive.
That's right.
And I think
So
that's the bit that's you get the terror headlines, which are, I think, quite paralyzing for people and shame inducing.
Oh, yeah.
You read the article and it's like, oh, actually, maybe there's a bit more to this. And actually, it's really not surprising. And it's interesting from a population health measures, writing guidelines, but not
Absolutely.
necessarily nuanced enough for an individual human. And yeah, it misses that privilege
Totally.
piece.
Yeah, which most of the
But then that's
articles
the
would
conclusion at the
acknowledge
end, right?
that it was always there, not in your like the social media versions of the talking about it,
But
but
your
in
Guardian and the
your
research
journalists who
papers.
try to be measured and responsible would notice that bit around socioeconomic, the associations there. And so yeah, I mean, sort of back to Costco again. The other thing's like, yes, the yogurt, like I bought like Greek yogurt. It's a 3 kilo tub. You might have a lot of fridge space for a 3 kilo tub of yogurt. I imagine most people don't.
No.
So again, if they're staples that you use all the time,
Yeah.
there are plenty of non-ultra processed foods there.
Yeah.
But they're really bulky. Like I bought this like 1.1 kilo bag of, they'll call it extra fancy mixed nuts. And so they're just nuts.
Extra
They're just roasted nuts.
fancy.
They're fantastic. They are extra fancy. They're giant, like big Brazil nuts and cashews and pistachio. Like it's really good for snacking or throwing on a cheese platter or whatever. But like that would, it still wasn't cheap. It was
No.
cheaper than if you were buying them at Woolies or Aldi or the fruit shop or anywhere like that. But not still, like again, you had to have capital to be able to buy 1.1 kilos of it.
So I think, by the sound of it, it's okay, nothing new to see here, really. And what can
No.
you add in?
Yes.
You know,
And they
if
definitely
you're
haven't been able to do the pull apart of is it, because the thing that I was really trying to find out is like there was clear intent to try to pull apart the macronutrient or the salt and the sugar and that from and the processing,
emulsifiers,
trying to pull
thickeners,
that apart.
stabilizers, colors,
And
dyes,
they just couldn't. And this one, and I spent a lot of time looking for this table before we started. Susan knows what I'm talking about, and I still didn't find it, but it's in my brain. So one of the studies looked actually broke down the old processed foods into
Bring that up to
different
guide
groups.
yourself.
I'm going to bring that up to guide myself. And so it looked at the total thing, and there was a definite
So,
association
ultra
between the
processed
more
foods
ultra
as
processed
a
foods as a
group.
whole, the more you eat, the higher risks of X, Y, and Z. With varying levels of evidence for the different 32 different health
And
things that
none
they
of
were
it was
looking at.
great, really.
No, none of it was very direct or
No,
very good.
not like
And
the
then with
evidence that dieting is likely to result in,
or
weight
a diet party
regain.
and weight, all those things. And then they broke them down into nine. It's nine. Oh my
For
goodness.
those not watching, Meg's holding up her
Let's not put
fingers.
this one up. I couldn't count, couldn't even figure out how many nine fingers was. They broke it into nine different groups. So ultra processed breads and cereals. So your biscuits, breakfast cereals, and not the breads that you make at home or not the breads that you're buying from your little artisan sourdough shop.
But your stock standard white sliced bread.
The ones you're getting, the ones you're getting on the shelf in a plastic container that has stuff to make it last longer, right?
Yes.
Shelf
and
life.
Not go moldy when it's put in a plastic bag hot.
Yes, exactly.
That stuff.
That stuff. So ultra-processed breads and cereals, sauces, spreads and condiments. So including like dehydrated like gravy powders
Gray
and stuff
box.
Like that and margarine.
Then
sweets and desserts. So pastries, buns, cakes, ice cream, frozen yogurt, blah, blah, blah. Savory snacks, which was just only defined as packaged salty snacks. So I'm thinking your rice crackers, your chips, your
shapes,
those sorts of things are your packaged salty snacks. Plant-based alternatives, so dairy substitutes and meat alternatives. Animal-based products, so processed beef, pork, fish, so sausages and processed
bacon.
Bacon, things like that. Processed cheese was in that group as well, the animals-based products. Then they had ready-to-eat or heat-mixed dishes, so pizza, pastas, instant canned soup, ready meals, lasagnas, like ready lasagnas. Legumes in an ultra-processed medium, artificially and sugar-sweetened beverages, and then this other category of like artificial sweeteners and alcohol-free versions of alcoholic beverages and nutrition powders and drinks. So those nine categories. So so the big headline was around the total. Like the more total you eat, the higher your risk.
Yeah.
But then once they broke them down into these categories, it was such a mixed bag. So the only ones that were associated with this increased risk were your sauces, spreads and condiments, sweets and desserts, and animal-based products. Whereas your
What about beverages?
Oh, and beverages, sorry. Yeah, and yeah, artificially sugar-sweetened beverages. So those are the only ones that still had that sort of association with increased risk. And most of the others were either no change or reduced risk, particularly the breads. And they're ready to eat mixed meals.
Wow.
So I was just like, why now that I'm reading this?
Sorry, why is this even
like
a thing?
Why? Like, so you're saying it's mostly just the sugar-sweetened beverages?
We just needed to publish something. I know, and processed meats.
Which we've
talked about before.
All of it. Whereas the fiber that comes in, these ultra processed breads and cereals, still good for you. Anyway, so I found that one just at a stale. Like I was like, oh, okay. Like the more you get into it, there's more contradictions, there's more conflicting stuff, like all nutrition research.
Yeah.
And so then you've got to zoom out and go, okay, like exactly what you were saying. How can I add in more group one and group two?
And reduce
reliance on the convenience of. These group four foods.
Or if I'm looking at like really, you know, maybe it's soft drink, you know. Maybe it's
maybe
like, do I reduce my intake of soft drink and cordial?
Yeah. And maybe fewer bacon, ham, sausage meals and try to get bit less processed meat if I'm going to eat meat.
Yeah, if you have, I know. Yeah, or make sure you've got like a ton of salad on there as well.
Yeah.
You know, beetroot, tomato, avocado. Get your big bag of spinach leaves from Costco. Put that on everything.
Split that with a friend. So, like,
it's
really
a lot.
Yeah, and it would be really easy to buy a lot of those four ones.
Yes. Yeah.
But for me, and this is only about my the reason I don't buy a lot of those isn't that they're expensive, because they're still cheap at Coles and Woolies.
They
go 50% off. They're cheap as. So I didn't buy many of those. The only probably the things that would be ultra processed foods that I bought would be I do a chocolate milk popper for my kids in their lunchbox every day, and they had them way cheaper. They're like less than half price that you can get them.
Right.
But I had to buy 24. To buy a tray full again, space.
And like you're a supermarket.
Be able to do that. Yeah, that's right. And I still haven't quite figured out where peanut butter fits in that. I read that processing thing and I'm like, well, so at Costco I didn't buy peanut butter because for my smoothies, I don't want the extra salt. Like I don't even like a Snickers bar because I find them too salty. So I don't want salty with my
super salty peanut butter.
So I just buy the no added anything one for that purpose. The kids, for spreading on their toast, we'd buy just the whatever one.
Yep.
But the only one, so I bought almond butter because they had it. And
oh,
its
yum.
Only ingredient is roasted almonds. And I'm like,
it's just been blended.
Category this sits in. It's just been
I feel like it's a one.
Yeah, I think it's probably
let's label it ourselves. Let's just decide.
It separates out. So you've got to stir it up to read so it doesn't have any stabilizers or emulsifiers in there. But it was those things are very, very convenient to throw in a lunchbox. But if I'm gonna buy shapes, I'll buy them just when they're half price in a big box.
Same and put them in little bags or containers.
They love the Vegemite shapes.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing as well. I think that some of the things that was, you know, being correlated with were like mental health outcomes. And you're like, well, which way does it go though? Yeah, does a high intake of these foods come out of, you know, poorer mental health? Because you just don't have the reserves to be planning. And yeah, that's right. You just haven't like, you know, but you're getting like yourself and your kids fed. So like, all right, good. Get that done. Great. Which way does the relationship go?
But if we add stress to people because all of a sudden they now have to also be worried about what they're eating. And so then every eating occasion,
does that worsen mental health?
6 times a day.
Yeah,
You're now stressing out 6 or 7 times a day about everything you put in your mouth.
Yeah.
That's not good for your mental health.
No.
At all.
And I think too, like when you've got, say, like children with sensory stuff going on or neurodivergence or just, you know, illness and injury. I was telling you off air about, you know, we had a terrible just freak accident at school. Two boys just head clashed and both of them now have like healing broken jaws.
Yeah.
They're probably going to need some soft...
And had to eat everything through a straw.
Yeah.
But even when I've had kids in hospital and I've had to stay with them for a week.
Yes.
Like if that's when you do my 24-hour food recall. your research.
Yeah, I had the pancakes from McDonald's. Yeah. I had the hash browns from McDonald's.
I had the
Grande Starbucks. Oh, wow.
Because even if you can't even leave processed. Them.
Like
when you can leave them, maybe you can go down to the cafe and have
a sandwich
or whatever. But when you can't, you know, when they're really crooked and you don't even want to leave them, you just eat whatever someone puts in front of you.
Exactly. And you're grateful for it.
You're very grateful for it.
It's the best thing you've ever eaten. But how many times have you also, I think like this, back to that idea of hyperpalatability, and I do think it's not about the individual. It is about the food industry. Making those, trying to extend the consumption of it. How many times have you gone back to something that you loved as a child and found it just horrendous?
I had a curfew early not that long ago, and I was like, I don't like this at all. I used to
sadness.
Love
oh, same. I have a very fond association. They were something that my granddad, when I was little, like when we lived in Ireland, so I was like, you know, probably two, and he would bring one home and my dad would get all uppity about it.
Don't ruin that. Don't have one as an adult. It's like watching Astro Boy as an adult. Don't do it.
I did was Frosties. Oh, my goodness.
I've never had Frosties.
I think the grown-up version is the crunchy nut cornflake, but don't try Frosties because they're just...
what is this?
Like, what? This is terrible.
Yeah, so there definitely is that. But I think what we find a lot with our clients is we're often actually disconnected from the eating experience when we're eating.
Yes.
Well, if we're not intuitive eaters or if we haven't done any sort of mindful eating training. If we now head, I shouldn't be eating this, I shouldn't be eating this, we're not tasting it. It's just I must buy this because it's banned.
Yeah.
Or I'm just, that first mouthful was amazing and I'm chasing that but not realizing that over time.
Yeah.
This is actually
well. That's interesting too, because like in all of like so in this whole ultra processed food fury, that guy Dr. Chris. So anyone who's a parent whose kids watched Operation Ouch, Dr. Chris and Dr. Zahn. I know
It was so
Anyway, he's
good.
gone down a full like weight loss rabbit hole, and he's written a book on this ultra processed food, which is, you know, everything you've been told is wrong. But he references, I think, very heavily this randomized control trial, which was done in a very small group of people.
It was one of the ones I read. You told me about this. The two weeks on ultra processed, 2 weeks on not ultra processed.
Well, two groups, one
Yes.
given very
Yes.
different
And then
foods.
they switched them.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So,
Yeah.
was like, I do wonder, like, have we corrected for dieting in there? If you're
Totally.
being, if you're taking part in research and you're given for free as much as you
Yeah.
want, a whole lot of foods that maybe have been banned, denied to you, and for the sake of research, you have to
Yeah.
eat them now.
You might eat more.
Are you eating intuitively? Are you eating to appetite? Are you eating more or less? Whatever. Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
There's so many potential confounding factors in
Yes.
this to then have the, I have found the secret
Yes. And
to
because
all of
they gained
it.
like, and it was not much, it was like less than a kilo, like
Half a
0.9 kilo or
kilo
something,
or
half a kilo or
kilo, yeah,
something,
it wasn't a
which
lot.
again can just be normal fluctuation if they got constipated, right? Did they get constipated because they weren't eating much vitamin? Does that account for most of the weight gain? Or was it higher
Well,
salt and so they retain more fluid?
wolf,
Was that what
yes.
was going on?
It's really like I think the idea that we've seen this very small but perhaps significant in effect, and we assume, we presume it will continue on in that direction
Yes, that's I
forever.
did that
And
was one of the
if,
studies I read and it was really annoying.
what happens in across 2 weeks? Like,
Yeah.
you know, my weight would definitely fluctuate
Oh, mine would.
across.
If it falls around my period, my weight's going to be up. I'm sure, like, I don't weigh myself, but I just know there's like literally there's clothes I can't wear at that time every single
So
month because
the other
I just retain
thing
fluid.
is the, are we correlating the intake with, you know, with weight? And then are we then doing a further correlation with
Yes.
like certain diseases and the weight? So have we got a double like correlation happening? Like what's
Definitely.
it's,
I think
yeah.
that's part of
So
it. And in that study, the non-processed diet was like $150 a day or whatever it was. And the processed one was like $100 a day. So it was 50% more cost for the same energy, the same calories, the same. Because they've tried to keep it macronutrient-ish about the same. As much as they could. So yeah, it was a yeah, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, Susan. A good
Indeed.
Instagram meme.
So, I mean, we're not sitting here being apologists for the food industry, obs.
Oh, definitely not.
But
No, absolutely not.
yeah, it's probably, you know, I think we you know, also not sort of going, all right, soft drink and chips are the pathway to abundant health.
But I don't
But
think anyone
also,
thinks that it is. I
I
don't, but
know,
I think
right?
everyone knows that fruit bits are probably not really that good for you for
They're probably
breakfast.
not fruit.
They're probably not fruit. Like I don't think we had like that's the reason. If you put those two diets in front of from that research study, if
Oh
you
my
put
gosh,
those
we're
two
back.
diets in front of people and said,
Do you remember
"Hey, which one's going to make you feel better? Which
that
one is healthier?"
show,
Everyone
You Are
knows.
What You Eat, with that Scottish woman,
Oh,
Gillian
she was
Keith?
awful.
And she was all about
I
the
only watched a
enemas
few
and all of that
episodes, but
stuff. Yikes.
she
But it would be like that. You spread it across the table, and it's this,
yeah.
like, you know. But, you know, okay, so we've got supermarket white bread, which, you know, it's quite often in our freezer. It's actually always in our freezer because, you know, I've given up on grainy bread. Forget it.
Oh,
What's the
really?
point?
They're not gonna eat
But don't even,
it.
well, they probably would. They did used to. But anyway, like you have that and you've got some, you know, hard-boiled egg. You've got this, like all of these group one foods on this group four food. Like
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's look at the
what's
whole
happening, like how are these
context.
foods being consumed?
It's like the condiments one, like we mentioned before. If I'm adding a condiment to all these group one or two foods that I've made at home, it's probably not gonna be that much of a problem
And
at
also,
all.
no one gets out of here alive.
That's also
Just
true.
saying, you know.
What a happy note to end our podcast on.
So, yeah, I mean, there's some of these things are, you know, they're very convenient. They are more palatable. And that's fine. That's fine. That's the role they play. They make eating a whole lot of other stuff perhaps easier. So great, good. They come, you know, they assist with the consumption of like highly nutritious foods. But the thing I find as well.
And if that is happening, it won't be 50, 60% of your diet. If that's where
true. That's right.
Where
exactly.
That's where they're sitting. So we're able to have that little reflection on.
Yeah. That. I think the other thing that's interesting in this space is the language we use. And it's so obvious that it's actually quite hard to find sort of language that has, you know, there's no moral value associated, like highly nutritious or like nutritionally dense or it's core foods, discretionary foods. Sometimes
so maybe
like
I don't
day,
hate category one, category two.
Category one, it's great. And to know what that is, you have to go and look at it. What does
it
mean?
Right. And like really have a good think and then read it again and go, oh, I still don't know where peanut butter sits.
I'm going to have a whiskey. Just to think.
Oh, it is after 12.
It is true.
Oh, well, we've been rambling on for a while. Our last two episodes have been quite long, so we hope
they
you don't
have mind.
Yes. That's okay. We've had lots to talk about.
So, yes.
Cool.
Where are we?
We're at the end of
March.
March,
isn't it? Yeah. I know. Did you do anything for St. Patrick's Day?
No.
No, no whiskey, no beer, no green.
No.
And we're coming to the end of the school term. We are heading into holidays in a few weeks.
Yes. I think it feels closer because we've got that Easter long weekend first.
Yeah, yeah. This
so
is a very long term.
Than it is. This is a long term.
11 weeks is too long. I'm sure all teachers would agree.
Yeah.
So we do have our ready to view team
helping your team
webinar
eat in food, confuse culture, and today's episode kind of shows
yes
a bit of how and
so
why. We're so confused.
Yeah.
Not us. Well, I'm not confused.
Really. No.
I'm talk about the peanut butter.
Yeah, but I'll have it anyway.
I'll have it anyway. Exactly.
Yeah, so I think, you know, this sort of these sort of messages that go out there do increase the fear. And I think when we've got not just kids, teenagers, kids, adults, where people have got like, you know, maybe a tendency towards anxiety or perfectionism or like they're more likely to grab on to those very definitive messages. And what it often will do is mean that a whole bunch of foods just drops out, and that can be so risky, you know, or there's an increasing shame, particularly around the consumption of some foods. And that, again, that can be really super risky. So, I guess if there's parents listening and there's any sort of like spider senses, worry being raised about what's happening with kids' intake, kids' sort of thoughts and discussions about body and food, that webinar is a really good sort of jump into this space. You know, I often think about like we want to help kids, but who's helping parents help kids? So
that's
what this is for. And then for more in-depth support, we are doing our lifeguards sessions in the new term. So yeah, we'll put the link.
So there'll be links all there, but of course, head to the website megandsusan.co
and
to find those things as well.
Yeah. All right. We should wrap this up and say goodbye.
See you later.
Bye.